I'm excited for Bible school. I'm going to be teaching 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. It's good because it will be a typical example of the carnality of the ministry. That's what 1 Corinthians is all about. So it'll be great. A lot of reformed, redeemed Bible college students. Very quickly. In Psalm 23, verse 5, the psalmist is confident of this fact that God can prepare for him a table in the midst of his enemies. He says, "He has anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." But in Psalms chapter 78, in 78 verse 19, it is a historical psalm as the nation of Israel is brought through the wilderness. The question by the psalm is, can God prepare for us a table in the wilderness? On one hand, there is an absolute confident trust on the part of the person in his relationship to God. On the other hand, there is an uncertainty involved. The uncertainty that is involved in a person's relationship with God causes a person to be unsure in his walk with God. I want you to understand this. God is interested in teaching me obedience before He can introduce me to warfare. God is interested, His will for my life is to teach me first how to learn obedience, which will eventually discipline me to discern warfare. When Israel was called out of Egypt, and even though it was an 11-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, if they allowed God to lead them, it took them between Numbers 11 and Numbers 16, 39 to 40 years, a journey that could have just taken 11 days now. What was God trying to teach Israel in the wilderness? He was not trying to teach Israel how to war in the wilderness. He was trying to teach them how to teach them obedience. It's a key. The nation of Israel was not prepared for warfare. God would fight for them. But He was interested in first teaching them obedience. You understand that? Before I can be in a place where I can be a representative in the kingdom of God in terms of exercising delegated authority, I must be in a place where I must be completely and totally submitted to God. Before we can lay claim to the deceitfulness of the devil, we must be aware of the deceitfulness of our own hearts. And it's very important for us today to recognize these things, that God is interested in the person that is brought into a place of obedience before Him to discern what warfare is like. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 8, as Solomon is resting in his chariot, his traveling couch, we have men there who are girded with swords. They say, men of warfare, that are able to patrol the dark of the night. In 78 of the Psalms, Ephraim was equipped. He was equipped to war, but he turned back. He turned back in the day of battle. In Acts 13, John Mark, because of his association with Barnabas, did not discern the authority that was vested upon Paul. And so he did not discern warfare because he lacked submission to spiritual delegated authority, and his disposition of being preferential in relationship caused him to step outside of his calling as an individual person. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, in Psalm chapter 18 verse 34, especially in Psalm 18 verse 34 and Psalm 144 verse 1, it says, God trains the hands of the believers to war. That's the portion tonight. Jesus Christ, in Hebrews 5, He learned, He didn't say warfare. He learned obedience through the things that He, what? Suffered. Do you know that? Once we understand the secret of what it means to learn obedience, we do not have to be worried about conflict. Why? Because the captain of the Lord of the host is the one that will fight for us. So Israel is going to experience tremendous warfare in the book of Joshua. They have to take over the entire land and they have to subdue it. They have tribal people in Canaan that they have to subdue. If they have not learned obedience in the wilderness, how can they be in a place where they can discern warfare in Canaan? The manna of the land ceased to exist. The manna that came from heaven ceased to exist in chapter 5 of the book of Joshua. Now they had to eat of the corn of the what? Ground. They had to eat of the corn of the ground. The manna was given as a provision in the wilderness because they had no time to raise the crops. There is a time that God, there is a time where God makes things available to us as a gift of His grace in that sense. But there is a time where God puts His people to work because of the maturity that they have entered as a result of that gift of grace. The gift of grace that we have received from God teaches us to learn obedience. The maturity that is the result of us learning obedience is that we will understand the kingdoms. We will understand. That is why it's not possible for a babe in Christ to discern what the kingdoms are like because he is not skillful in the word of righteousness in Hebrews chapter 5, 12, 13 and 14. They have to be first taught the elementary things concerning the kingdom of God. They need milk. They don't need meat at that particular time. They need milk. And after some time, they will learn to feed on the milk of the word of God. So, you have in that crowd as they came out of Egypt, a mixed multitude of people. You had a mixed multitude of people. Then, they say later on that there was the enemies, the Edomites. They would attack the stragglers, I mean the people that were weaker, and they would be left behind on the way. When a person is obedient before God, he guards his relationship before God, lest he lose out on that anointing that he has as a believer and a capacity that overflows. He said again, when a person is brought out of obedience before God, and the word obedience is not obedience in terms of the hammer coming down. The word obedience is I stay under the authority of that which God has revealed to me. It is I simply stay under the authority of what God has revealed to me. I hear it in faith, and number two, I obey it in faith. That's called faith obedience. In Romans 1, 5b and 16:25 of Romans, it's called faith. I hear it in faith and I obey it in faith. I hear it in faith, believing, and I obey it in faith, irrespective of the consequences of my obedience. The son trusted God to raise him up from the dead, even though he had that right in 10, 16, and 17 of the book of John. He nevertheless still trusted the Father to raise his body from the grave on the third day. He trusted in the Father's plan for his life, in his humanity, as he condescended and took upon himself human nature in order to pay for our sins. So it's very important for us. When is there confusion in our lives? There is confusion in our lives when we are in conflict at the expense of obedience. When we are in conflict at the expense of obedience, then we are in trouble, because the subjective nature of man begins to interpret the situation. Instead of living in the objective reality of obedience to the word of God, the subjective nature of man begins to give interpretation to the situation. And that is exactly where the devil wants every Christian to be. He wants a Christian to bypass obedience. It's called the SC, shortcut. He wants to bypass the thing. You know, people come, I tell them you have to go to 3 to 4 years of Bible school if you want to be equipped. And by the way, this Bible college here gives you much more than you can even think or imagine. It equips you. 3 to 4 years, they have their plan, they have their calculations. They don't care. They don't want to submit. They have already decided in their mind the prenatal plan of God according to his foreknowledge. They have already gone through the archives of the book where the lamb was slain. They have already decided who they are, what they are going to do, and they reach their destiny in their own minds. What does Paul say to Timothy? Don't put your hands on a novice quickly, lest he be taken in the snare and the captive of the devil. A man of God came to me in one of our branch ministries and says, when is so-and-so going to be ordained? I said, I came to ministry in 85. I graduated from Bible school in 92. I got ordained in 97. 85 to 97 is 12 years. Maybe he'll take 24 years. I'm not saying it has to be that way. I'm just saying, it's very interesting when the person asks me, when will this person be ordained? As if to say, there is a formula that one needs to discover in order to be successful. We don't need the formula to be successful. We need for God to reveal to us the mystery of faith in 1 Timothy 3:9. So I want to close here. We'll leave you out by 8:15. I said 8:15, 8:20. We'll go to 8:25. Confusion in conflict is the result of not being under the authority of the Word of God. Now, I'm not. Some are ignorant of the conflict that is going on, and they don't make it at times. That is the purpose and nature of the enemy, is to get people to be removed from the place of their calling. They just look at those that are more influential over them, that they are somehow subject to. They are not subject to the truth of the Word of God. They are subject to personalities in the ministry. And that is why when we come to the church, we do not disciple people unto ourselves. We disciple people unto Christ. We disciple people unto, yes, Paul did say, be an imitator of me, but he did not stop there. He said, as I am of Christ. So what was God trying to do to Israel? He was teaching them. He was hoping that they would learn obedience through a 11-day journey where he would lead them right into the promised land, but they refused it and they therefore went around in circles for 40 years. And in the meantime, those people that learned obedience that were born in the wilderness were successful in at least taking Canaan over till a certain time, until David came and took Jerusalem for God. We are looking for a success formula. God is looking for a broken person. Pastor, can you tell me, like, you are married now, you became a believer, you went to Bible school, then you came back, you're married, and all that. Can you just give me the formula? There's nothing wrong with it. I can give you the formula, but that formula might not work. God, we are not looking for a successful formula. We have been given a pattern. The Apostle Paul is saying, join in following my example. Pattern. We have been given a, Moses was given a pattern, so he built the tabernacle as a result of it. God is not looking to give me a successful formula. If he gave his disciples a successful formula, can you imagine what would have basically happened? No, he was looking for broken people. These people arrived at brokenness, some as a result of their sin before God. And in their condition of being found wanting, they discovered not just the greatness of who God was, they discovered the greatness of who they can be in Him. And so, let us not get preoccupied with conflict that will bring us to confusion. Let us be in a place where we learn how to submit to the authority of the Word of God and learn obedience, which will cause us to be brought into the place of suffering. Now, this suffering is necessary in order to experience the power of Christ's resurrection in Philippians 3:10. This suffering, I'll close here, is necessary to experience the power of His suffering. The fellowship is in the suffering because of obedience, but the power is in the resurrection of Christ. Is that clear? What does the resurrection of Christ mean? Absolute and total victory for the believer over all the limitations of his human disposition. You understand that? And so, the believer is now in a place, in 2 Timothy 2:1, because he is strong in grace, he now can be a person that can enlist as a soldier and suffer hardship as a soldier in the kingdom of God. Timothy did not say, Paul did not say, Timothy, suffer hardship. He says, no, be strong in grace. Be strong in grace. Can God provide for me a table in the wilderness, is the question to a group of people that saw the 10 plagues in Egypt and saw all his signs. Whereas the psalmist is saying, God can prepare for me a table. He doesn't say in the wilderness, in the midst of my enemies. One is confused. One is confused in their relationship with God and confused in terms of the conflict around. The other person is absolutely settled in his relationship with God. And now, because of him being settled in his relationship with God, he's fellowshipping with God in the midst of the turbulence that is there around him. One has learned how to be brought to a place of being broken. The other people want a success formula, how to reach their destination. Many times, people will come to church and they, at first message they want to know from God, is this my local assembly? Is this the place? And they're like, I know, they're looking to see whether the message fits into their formula for life. They are not looking to be in a place where God could bring them to a place of brokenness so that they can learn obedience. And as a result of the obedience that they learn, be brought into a place where they can be in a place where they can be enlisted into a greater degree of sanctification. And that is warfare, where every believer learns how to be an intercessor in the kingdom of God. Amen. Okay, Tanya leaves for Kerala, right, for a week. So pray for her as she goes that she would not join Amma. It's a crazy place out there. But she has some Finnish friends there that she wants to spend some time with. So we just keep her in our prayers also. Remember this. Do not allow yourself to become confused in conflict at the expense of obedience before God. If you and I learn to come before God in obedience by faith, God will take care of the conflict. The marriages in our ministry are not under trial. The marriages in the ministry are being prepared for promotion. But it's possible to put one another on trial rather than learn obedience together as a couple so that they can now be in a place where God could be the one that would fight for them in the battle. You have come to Bible school. It is not warfare in Bible school. It is obedience in Bible school. Do not give the devil glory. It is not war. People come first and say, oh, there's a lot of warfare. There's no warfare. God is teaching me how to stay within my budget, how to wear those same clothes for 2 to 3 years, maybe steal, if you're in the dorm, the other person's clothes. Now, he's teaching me how to be disciplined. And nobody who is indisciplined can be effective in conflict. You're not wearing your helmet on the shoulder and putting it when the RTO comes, because the RTO is not the devil. The RTO, the devil, is the pillion rider that's already there on your bike with your helmet on your shoulder. Okay, Father, dismiss us today. We thank you for the visitation this evening, your presence in this place, the word of God, the authority in the soul of a believer that is under grace, the privilege to stay in obedience of faith, and the beauty of being brought to a place of conflict, knowing that you are the captain of the Lord of the host, and you have raised up a people broken before you so that you could be glorified through the victory of Christ on the cross, which is ours by faith. We thank you. Bless the body of Christ, we pray. Father, we pray for Tanya. She travels. Just give her traveling mercies and a sweet time of fellowship, we pray. Pray for our missionaries in this nation, people on the fields, we pray, Father. We pray and pray for this year that will come by faith. Pray for Pastor Fred Ellis as he comes on the 20th of January this month to stay for a few months in India. He wants to visit different places. Bless him. Give him grace ahead of time, Father, we pray. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.